Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 15th. Joining us this morning is Arcata's City Manager, Karen Diemer.
Good morning.
You're looking like semi-formal. You have like a press conference or something?
No, this hopefully.
I mean, it's a
my
Friday.
Only press today.
It's a Friday.
It is a Friday. I could be more casual.
Okay.
Yeah. We don't do Hawaiian shirt Friday in Arcata. Maybe we'll start that.
Oh, we do Hawaiian shirt every day.
Every day. Yeah. I've noticed that in the
studio.
You've heard
Ange's ads. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You think I'm going to be that narrow focused and short-sighted? Yipes. But yeah, that would be something to start in Arcata.
Mm-hmm.
We can help you out if you need it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we'll come down to the station and look at the selection.
Are you ready for a Why Do We Say That?
Never, but let's do it.
All right. Ride herd. Why do we say someone rides herd?
Wow.
I could have gone with Skid Row.
Neither one. It sounds like a good way to start our Friday.
No.
Why do you ride herd? I don't know.
Come on, this is kind of a Midwesty thing.
Kind of a Midwesty thing. Yeah. Rounding something up. You're...
Moo.
We've got a cow theme.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to read it
it's
off
not
for
dairy.
Us.
Sorry.
It's a beef cow thing.
Yes. In the days of fenceless ranching, some cattle were driven only 300 miles or so to market. Other drives were four times as long. Cooks and wagon drivers were the lucky ones, comparatively speaking. Their workday extended only from first light to an hour after sundown. Not so with trail riders. To head off stampedes and round up stragglers was a 24-hour-a-day job. Cattle usually obeyed, though sometimes they balked before yielding. Today, you don't have to climb into the saddle in order to ride herd. Just concentrate upon keeping everyone moving along at home or on the job in the same direction.
Well, there you go. Almost apropos.
Really? Uh-huh. So you got Alex back?
We do, yeah. I think
formally
she might...
and 100%ly?
She is sworn in as of last Monday, and I think she could ride herd for all of us and keep us going in the right direction.
That's what I was thinking. And her death is probably more than yours. So you've got somebody you can now go to for institutional knowledge.
Yeah, Alex. Alex was on the council when I was first hired in my current position.
Did you ask
for
her
if
she still feels confident in that decision?
Yeah. That's for my second meeting.
Then you only need to count to two.
But then her first stint on the Arcata City Council, you know, it was 51 years ago. So she does have just tremendous, tremendous knowledge and history of Arcata. And
compared to many of the others, life experience also. So perhaps a modifying or mollifying force.
Yeah, and more energy than all of us. So it's hard to keep up with.
Yeah, that's the
really
genetic
fun.
Thing that, yeah, some get and some don't.
Yeah, well, she got all of ours, I think. So, no, it's been great to see her come back on board and just start to sort of reimmerse in
why
some
did
of
she
our
run?
Current.
Why did she want to do it again?
I think you've touched on it a little bit. We've got really critical decisions around land use planning and housing coming up, and housing is a big passion of hers. She's been, you know, in that industry for a long time as well, providing housing. I've watched her go back and forth between when we really needed tourism serving facilities, you know, using some of her units as Airbnbs, and when we really hit housing crunch, moving those back into long-term housing to try to meet the needs of Arcata. So, you know, she has a real interest in that area, and we're seeing this huge housing crisis. I think that was really motivating for her. And I think she's been a good mentor to many of our newer city council members. So she's developed those relationships.
Yeah,
with her history and really saw that this would be a group that she could continue to work with and provide value to. So we're excited to have her on board. We literally got this certified. Well, we saw the final cumulative report come out. And our city clerk called the county, said, could we get our certified letter on Friday? It was sweet. The county actually delivered it up to us so that we could include her in a special meeting on Monday and get her sworn in on Monday. So
get the ball rolling.
Yeah.
Itchy.
And she was ready to go. So it's been fun.
So did you have the same name plaque or did she bring
You know that.
I would think you probably give it to them as they leave, right?
We do, but she still had it.
Yeah.
She did. It was the, at least the one that she brought back. Anyway, yeah, she's got a name plaque. She's ready to go.
A little different than everybody else's, which would be cool.
Yeah.
Just a little, even if it just had patina on it.
Yeah.
It would be cool just to, you know, to have a little bit of recognition of third time's a charm.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of service to our community.
So as you look at the housing challenges that is there, mm-hmm. Crisis, okay, maybe, sort of. It's not hitting as a, like you're running into a wall. It's more like a tidal wave coming in, you know, and increasing over the next 5 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Does Arcata need to handle it? Or is that something that the county... outside, you know, just outside the city, or McKinleyville, or is this something you guys are going to try to wrestle down half of it, or 60% of the total, and really change the feeling and the culture of what Arcata is?
No, this is a countywide, certainly, not only... Well, I don't, you know, and crisis might be a strong word, but when I talk just anecdotally to people in Arcata, one of the things we've seen, because the housing prices are so high, that a lot of landlords have, property owners have decided to sell, and their properties have been in long-term tenancy, long-term rentals. But the buyers, the purchasers of these homes want to be owner-occupied. Right.
Oh,
so,
really?
So it creates this crisis for people that maybe have rented a house for
existing
six
residents
months or 5 years.
People
have been
coming
in,
here.
Both.
But I've heard the same thing with the Victorians, that there's mm-hmm. kind of a little bit of a inertia mm-hmm. about making Victorians again instead of apartment
mm-hmm.
buildings,
mm-hmm.
which I think is way cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to have the patience, the life expectancy, and the budget to be able to pull that all together.
Right.
I think that there's something magical about that. But
the local
the short
crisis
term,
is those
it compounds
tenants.
Compounds the situation,
yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. So I guess we'll talk about that when we come back.
Perfect.
The duck has flown. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer from the city of Arcata. Housing is one of those, I think it's being recognized now pretty much universally as a infrastructure. It's just is. It's like sidewalks. It's like streets. It just is. How dense do you think Arcata will be? You can always expand and annex and all that kind of
mm-hmm.
stuff. But for the existing footprint that's there, with the demand that I think everybody is recognizing is coming, whether it's mm-hmm. retrofitting Victorians or whether it's the school taking off or normal growth that everybody else experiences except Humboldt County,
right.
There's going to be more need across the board.
Yeah.
It used to be housing density was a huge thing in the 90s. Haven't heard an awful lot about that, you know, because it was urban sprawl versus density. Kind of got a lot of us laughing. Urban sprawl in Humboldt County? So
but now you wonder.
Kind of getting to that point a little. But we still don't have that many two-story buildings.
Right.
Yeah. What does Arcata look like
mm-hmm.
in, let's say,
years.
Plus 10
yeah.
or plus 20?
Yeah. So if we go back 20 years, the city passed a general plan, our blueprint for growth, for development in Arcata. And that plan outlines exactly what you talked about. The community at that time said, we don't want sprawl. We want to protect the green spaces around. So we put in what we call a western green belt to protect the bottomlands in Arcata.
Okay, western green belt is located where?
On the west side of Arcata. So from Arcata towards
the
bottoms. Right.
The
we have the bay, right?
Bottoms, yeah.
Right. So the bottoms, the bay is not going to be developed, right? So that's secured. We've purchased so much of the forest lands to the east of us, right, to create that green belt buffer. We have the Mad River to the north.
Yeah, you can't buy that.
Right. But nor are you going to build on it.
Right, right.
And so then it was really just around the bottomlands as you head out towards the ocean from Arcata that we created that western green belt. So the general plan that the city's had for 20 years is just about density, and it's about infill. And it was a huge discussion in the late 90s, early 2000s. And the plans went through, and now here we are 20 years later, we're starting to see where that density and infill makes economical sense for a private developer.
By infill, what is that defined as?
It means higher density within your currently, in areas that currently have water, sewer, sidewalk, streets. So you're going to go up in elevation, more floors. So where you would have had a one-story, you'll have a two-story or a three-story or a four-story. We have...
Not using the Ocho, huh? You know, I thought as soon as somebody said that, and that you guys had kind of thrown that one out just as a giggle, obviously, you know, most of the people would have gone to ESPN, the Ocho, off of Dodgeball. I don't know if you've seen the movie or not, but it's like, yeah, here you go. Okay. And that's the response. You kind of laugh and giggle, okay, what's real?
Well, but let me tell you where eight stories came from. So what Brian is referring to is we have one area. We have like five areas of kind of residential density infill that the city is looking at right now. One is, say, in the Northtown area. One is in the downtown area. One is in the coastal zone, in fact, kind of on the north side of Samoa. The other is in an area that we call the Gateway Planning Area. And that gateway was broken up into several different geographical sections, and it's already a fairly small, you know, region of the city. And in a couple of those sections was the potential for eight-story buildings. In a preliminary, very draft design to say, community, what would this look like and feel like? Is this something we would embrace, or is this something that we wouldn't? And then, you know, how would we change it to meet sort of the values of Arcata?
So it's kind of like the extreme.
Well,
and
the reason
work towards the center.
Yeah, well, the reason that eight was placed in there was through sort of an economic study of what is viable in the private market.
Just an ROI.
Yeah, exactly. A return on investment, and looking at if you're going to build eight stories or if you're going to build anything above four stories, right? Like, I think we've established you can build four stories or lower and get a decent return on investment. But there is a lot of additional cost when you get into five, six, seven stories that at some point, eight stories becomes economical to build in all the different safety features and the elevators and the sprinklers and, you know, the structure associated with a five-story building, but with the added economic value of an extra two or three floors. So that's where eight came in. I don't want to predict what the council will do, but we've had, I think, fairly unanimous, I shouldn't say unanimous, there is some support for that, but I would say the majority of Arcata is interested in something lower than eight stories.
So if the general plan permits it?
It doesn't right now. Doesn't permit eight stories right now.
Oh, okay.
No.
So this was
just proposal of what would this look like? How much housing could we build?
So
it's
a discussion
levels?
Point rather than a formalized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything.
No.
I was talking with a buddy who has some of the mini storage, and he had mentioned a fella who's been around for a long time wanting to put one in at the county, but that the county is really pushing for working income housing. What's the
cool, workforce housing?
Yeah, the cool groovy phrase. Okay.
Well, we want people with jobs
and
to have houses.
They were not inclined to allow the... or really pushing hard for the storage units. I said, well, why not put some housing on top of the storage units? And it was like light bulbs were going off in the room.
Well, no,
is
that's
that something
basic.
That's normal or regular? I mean, we don't see it around here too much, but is that something that is out there now?
It could be storage. I mean, I think most commonly what you see is parking. Parking on that first or first, second, yep. and third story, and then housing above.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Diemer, Arcata City Manager. So, Karen, with the emphasis on housing, are there tricks of the trade that other communities are having? I know it's tough for some folks to get out of the area, and then the willingness to do so is, yeah, a little bit less for some also. But there's got to be some examples out there of, not smart growth, because I think that's almost a hackneyed phrase, but creative ways to do things that allow the ROI to allow the density to be there. Mm-hmm. If you put in five or six more of those, not you, if the city allowed mm-hmm. five or six more of those apartment complexes like Danny Johnson's building mm-hmm. In the general vicinity of the downtown, mm-hmm. the character has now changed.
Mm-hmm.
Good, bad, or indifferent.
Right.
It's just changed. Mm-hmm. Is that something that is okay, or is there this tension between we need more houses, but we want to stay this bucolic little area?
Right. That'll always be, you know, a push and pull for a community. I think so many moved up, and especially within California, came up from really high population areas to get away from that. And so we've had that, yeah.
Smoke too.
And the smoke and the heat.
Yeah.
And the congestion and the commute. And then in the pandemic, what we learned is that you could telework and you could keep your job and move to a beautiful area like Humboldt County and not have to contend with a lot of the things that you didn't like about where you lived to have the job that you loved, right? And so we looked at our population in Arcata over like the last 20 years as it relates to the university. And what you saw for so many years was the population grow. So as the university's population grew, the city's population grew. And then around, 2014-15 school year, Humboldt's, the university's student population was about 8,500 students. This last year, I think they were at 5,800 students, right? So around 2016.
And that was a plus from where it had been the year before.
A small one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in 2016-17, you saw this really rapid plunge in student population. And now,
did Arcata see the change, or was it the McKinleyvilles and the Eurekas, and Arcata is where the housing stayed?
So what
kids.
We would have expected is that for a period of that decline, we would have stayed at the same level. You would have seen McKinleyville and the Blue Lakes and Manilas and people, students want to be closer to campus. We do know this,
sure.
Right? But what we saw was that we didn't stay the same. We grew at the fastest pace we have grown in the last 25 years.
So everybody wanted to be close to the campus.
So as students declined, those units were being taken up with non-students that were moving to this area, in addition to students that were coming closer. And in the pandemic, when a lot of students did leave and go back to their homes and teleschooled, I don't think that's really a word, virtual school, those units were also taken by equal number of people that were living in congested areas that wanted to get out of them for COVID and could telework up here.
Virtual school. I think that's the one I went to.
Yeah. Until the report card came. Yeah, it was like, I guess it wasn't virtual.
So as you look at where Arcata is today, I look at Sunnybrae.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Toledo. There are so many rentals that you buy two or three of them and you could put something in there to allow, kind of like the ones by the eucalyptus trees. Maybe not to the same extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But certainly there's capacity there. It's close enough. And those homes, a lot of them haven't had too much TLC in the last little bit.
Well, you haven't driven through Sunnybury recently.
Well, not in the last 6 months, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should again.
Okay. Because I've heard a lot of those have been turned over, and now there is the owner occupied. Mm-hmm. So there's these windows of opportunity that, mm-hmm. that sit there.
Yeah.
How is that the city's function, is to manage that stuff or to get out of the way and to allow the marketplace to do what it is? And if you don't hit the density figures, well, okay, maybe it's going to be outside, just outside the city limits, and the county will be able to pick up those.
Right. Well, I think your question hits to the core of it. What the city's responsibility is to look at where are areas that the community as a whole thinks denser growth are most appropriate. So, for example, right now, as I mentioned, we have, you know, five or six areas that the Planning Commission are, you know, finalizing a recommendation to the council for denser housing. One of those is not Sunnybury, right? Just to make that clear. My phone's going to be ringing off the hook. You're going to have apartment complex throughout Sunnybury? No. But, you know, there are these areas around Northtown, around Alliance and Spear, around the Gateway, around the downtown, where the Planning Commission has said with zoning changes that allow for more mixed use and higher density housing, we think we could meet, at least from a zoning perspective, what the city's demands will be. And then, you're right, it's up to the private industry to come in and be able to build that out.
So a little bit of an advisor role rather than a consultant role.
And open the opportunities. You know, the opportunities have to be on the landscape for the growth of the building to happen.
What about the old mill sites?
Yeah, those are definitely included. We're really looking at where do you have vacant or really underutilized properties, and how could they be
repurposed? Oh, you're underutilized is not necessarily my underutilized.
I think from this conversation, we've experienced that.
Yeah. Is there a legal definition of what would qualify as underutilized?
No,
or is it just kind of a gut interpretation that whoever happens to be sitting around the table at the moment?
Yeah, or slightly site-specific, you know, how much of the property is actually developed out, how much, what is the percentage that's actually in use, and what is the potential that the property has? What are the natural constraints? Do you have a creek running through it? Do you have a fault line running through it? You know, what is the buildable potential for that property? And then is that use being maximized or not? Right, so it is very site-specific.
It always is. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right. You can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable. So book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Karen Deemer from the City of Arcata. When discussions start to happen with or around housing, yeah, it's one thing as an investment or an ROI, mm-hmm. and then everybody goes home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dandy. But when it's your home, your neighborhood, things can get a little emotional a little quickly, I would mm-hmm. think. Is there a balancing equation to that? If I'm an out-of-the-area developer, or let's say you and I have a partnership, and we're putting in some high-density housing in Ukiah,
mm-hmm.
and we're living up here. Okay, yeah, we'll give 5% of the rent, we'll go to the Little League. Great, ooh and ah, and everybody's happy, until the thing is built. And now the impacts of the housing, of the foot traffic, of the noise, of all these various things are now put into effect mm-hmm. for the neighborhood. And now they're not so wild and crazy about that 5% going to the Little League teams. is there any balancer or mollifier or cushioning or consideration for that? Or is the focus so narrowly defined on we need more front doors, that kind of is the fuel in the engine right now?
I think that's the whole point of having community process around planning, right? You've got, I mean, even in the planning process that we've done right now, we've done neighborhood tours, walking tours to talk about what would that look like. This is an area that might only allow 4 stories. This is an area in the plan right now that would propose potentially 6 stories. What does that look like? Let's stop. Let's look around. Look at how tall that building is. That building is probably 5 stories. Like, we actually built tall buildings in this region.
Yeah, the Victorians are all that way. But they didn't have ADUs. They had outhouses, right. But they also had quarter blocks.
Right.
At the time, so
had a
density
lot of space.
So when we start looking at these, and the ADUs, I think are probably going to be the thing that this decade is going to be remembered for,
mm-hmm.
because it just is so disconcerting, I guess. Parking being waived, setbacks being waived, structures in places that weren't before that really mm-hmm. do impact the flavor and the feeling of a neighborhood. Maybe not one, but he put in 3 or 4. Now it's a totally different community. Those types of things, is there, how do you strike that middle ground?
For better or worse, you do that through how you develop your code, right? So you are defining what is your parking requirement, what are your setback requirements. And what the state is saying to local governments right now is, if you have general guidelines in place, we will allow you to enforce. But outside of real general guidelines, we're going to come in and start to strip away a lot of past requirements. So, you know, our planning effort right now is to try to get ahead of the state taking control over what planning looks like in our
region.
So
if you have enough stuff in play, they'll go on to somebody else who doesn't?
Well, that is, you know, that is not site-specific, that you're not being discretionary and saying, you can do this and you can't do that, right? You've got this code in place where everyone is...
Oh, so you can't do neighborhoods by neighborhood? It has to be...
You can by region, but again, it has to be done ahead of time, not on a project-specific basis. I mean, we'll see how everything flows from the state, but everything we've seen in the last 5 years is pulling control away from local governments because... The state wants housing. They're feeling the housing crisis pinch, even greater than we are up here, right? So they are, you know, SB9, you can now take any single family home, divide it, and have 4 units. And that's a big change. I don't think we're seeing as much of that happening in Humboldt County because we have encouraged accessory dwelling units in this region for, I'd say, you know, at least 5 years, if not 10. Where other areas really had stronger prohibitions.
Let's go back to our Sunnybrae rumor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get 4 or 5 of those folks deciding that's the route they want to take.
We've seen a lot of accessory dwelling units in Sunnybrae, and I don't think it has changed.
Knock it down, divide it up, and now you've got 3 or 4 per site.
Yeah.
You know, even with some of the small little cul-de-sacs all of a sudden become a lot more active.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. And I don't suppose that too many that are owner occupied are inclined in that direction. It's more the investment, the business model that does that.
Yeah, so it's important to still set aside requirements for open space, for community space. You know, we're looking at what are the other amenities that our community would like to see. So if you are taking a 4-story building and you're going to 5 stories, well, then we're expecting you to put in 5 additional amenities, let's say. And these
parking slots?
Could be parking slots. It could be EV parking. It could be bike or car shares. You know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that you could do as amenities.
All the groovies from the state. Thanks for coming by. See everybody on Monday.